in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Oh Father, we worship you, we adore you, we honor you, we reference your presence in our midst. Our hearts and mind are open. Thank you for your word, Spirit of the living God. Thank you. We give you the glory, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. You know, clapping is a form of exercise, especially this cold weather. Now clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Mark 16 verse 17. Hallelujah. Secrets of Supernatural Living, part 4. You might be seated. Let me welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Say, welcome to church. Welcome. Hallelujah. Thank God the rain did not stop you from coming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Secrets of Supernatural Living, part 4. Mark 16:17, and these signs shall characterize them that believe. These signs shall escort, accompany believers in Christ, the believing ones. Number one, it says, in my name. And we say that word name is from the Greek word onoma. Onoma means, number one, authority. Number two, onoma means character. It distinguishes a character, a personality. That name also means presence, the presence of a person. So I will say the name of Jesus, we mean the authority of Jesus. The name of Jesus means the character of the person or the personality called Jesus. Name of Jesus refers to his presence, the presence of Jesus, the reputation of Jesus. So these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall expel demons, they shall evict demons, they shall force out demons. Hallelujah. In his authority. Number two, he says, they shall speak with new tongues. Number three, he says, they shall take up serpents. They shall take up, verse 18, they shall take up serpents. Serpents are snakes. They shall take up serpents. And then number four, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Then number five, they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. That's, they will bring divine healing to the sick. So you can see that all these signs that God said we follow believers in Christ, all these signs are supernatural in nature. All of them are supernatural signs. Number one, casting out devils. Number two, speaking with new tongues. None of them is natural. They are all supernatural signs. So God has ordained that these supernatural signs characterize a believer in Christ. Hallelujah. We are ordained to live the supernatural life that Jesus died to make available to us in Christ. Glory to God. Yesterday we looked at the basis for our supernatural living. Number one, the first basis is the life and the nature of God we received at new birth. When we got born again, we received the supernatural life of God, we received the supernatural nature of God. The second basis for supernatural living we looked at is the Word of God. The Word of God that gave birth to us is supernatural in nature. Praise God. God and His Word are one and the same thing. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And all of them are supernatural. We are the supernatural offspring of the supernatural Word of God. The third basis for supernatural living we looked at is our oneness. Our oneness, our union with God through His Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, "But he that is joined to the Lord, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, not two spirits." The Holy Spirit is living in us, yes, but is not living in us separate from our human spirit. There are no two separate spirits. The Holy Spirit is one with our spirit, is in union with our reborn human spirit. And our body is His temple. Hallelujah. And the only reason why our body is called the temple of the Holy Spirit is because our bodies are the temple of our recreated human spirit in the first place. So our oneness with God is the third basis for supernatural living. The Holy Spirit is the grand commander of the supernatural. His indwelling presence in us makes us a sign and a wonder to our world. Glory to God. Then the fourth basis we looked at for supernatural living is the name of Jesus. I spoke extensively on this one, the name of Jesus, and then we said that name contains all authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that's in the kingdom of darkness, the underworld. The name of Jesus empowers us to walk in all round dominion. You can walk in dominion in that name, in the authority that is in that name. The name of Jesus is a major key to operating in the supernatural. And we said, in that name, our authority lies in that name. Okay? Our authority is in Christ, is in that name of Jesus. And we differentiated between authority and power, dunamis. Okay? We saw the difference. And the good news is that Jesus has given us both authority and power. Glory to God. In Luke 9:1, He called His disciples. He gave them both authority and power over all demons and to cure all diseases. So in Christ, we have both of them. We have both authority and power. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Today we'll look at something very, very special. Let's start with this one. What is the purpose of the supernatural? What is the purpose of supernatural manifestation? Why does God do miracles? Why does God perform signs and wonders? What is the purpose of the miraculous? Why does God manifest His supernatural power in our midst? Why does God manifest His supernatural power on earth? What is the purpose of miracles, signs, and wonders? Why are they important? Number one, to demonstrate His love for humanity. to demonstrate his love for suffering humanity, for the needy humanity, needy world of people, needy world of men. Our world is plagued with so many problems. Humanity is suffering, all manner of things. Hallelujah. In my small life, I've seen the things people suffer. The world is full of problems, sicknesses, diseases, oppressions of the devil, because of the presence of the kingdom of darkness on earth. Humanity is suffering under the whiplash of Satan, the tyrannical government of Satan, oppressing people, stealing, killing, and destroying lives and destinies. So many are under demonic oppression, poverty, sickness, disease, all manner of things, death. But our Heavenly Father, because of His love, because of His love, it demonstrates His power. It demonstrates, it manifests His supernatural power in order to prove His love for us. The supernatural is a manifestation of God's love. Am I communicating? Anytime God manifests His power to heal a sick person, give me Matthew 14:14. Anytime God demonstrates His healing power to heal a sick person, anytime God performs a healing miracle, He is passing a message to humanity. He is passing a message to the person that is healed, that I love you. So the miraculous is a demonstration of God's love. Am I communicating? Anytime God prospers the poor, He is passing a message to humanity that He loves them. He's saying, I love you too much to watch you wallow in poverty. When He heals a sick person, He performs a miracle of healing, He's telling the person that I love you too much to watch Satan afflict and torment you with this sickness. I love you too much for you to suffer and be buffeted by this pain. So the miraculous is a demonstration of God's love. You will read concerning Jesus. You will hear that phrase, and Jesus was moved with compassion, and He healed the sick. And Jesus was moved with compassion, and He fed the multitude. He was moved with compassion. The miracle of divine provision in the wilderness, multiplying the bread and the fishes, it was preceded by that phrase, and Jesus was moved with compassion. That is His love in motion. The love of God is the number one reason why God manifests His supernatural power. This is the number one reason for the miraculous. It is a demonstration of the love of God, our Heavenly Father, to suffering humanity. Miracles, signs, and wonders, they prove that our Heavenly Father loves us so much. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with what? Compassion towards them. He was moved with, and listen, compassionate love, compassion is a major trigger for the anointing. It's a major trigger for the anointing. As a healing minister, I have a lot of compassion for sick people. Anytime I see people sick, in pain, honestly, my heart, it breaks my heart. You know, sometimes I will feel as if I'm in the person's shoe. Sometimes the Holy Ghost can even put me in the person's shoe. I can start feeling their pain. It's a supernatural thing. Am I communicating? And And as the compassion of Jesus wells up in my heart, I'll just start feeling the healing anointing tangibly. You see, compassion undams the flow of the rivers of the anointing. When compassion for the sick, we unlock the flow of the healing anointing. Compassion for the poor unlocks the flow of the prosperity anointing. Am I communicating? Compassion for those that are oppressed, tormented by the devil, it will unlock and unleash the flow of the anointing for deliverance. Am I communicating? To set at liberty them that abuse. Very powerful. Very powerful. Jesus was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Glory to God. He didn't heal their sick to prove that he was a powerful man of God. The Bible says he was moved with what? Compassion. Not for fame, not for popularity. He was moved with what? Compassion. Not for self-aggrandizement. He was moved with compassion. Sometimes I see some people that desire to walk in the anointing, but I see the motivation, wrong motivation. Anything that is not motivated by love will not work in this kingdom. You cannot go far. Am I communicating? Love is the greatest motivation for working in the supernatural. If you really want God to move, to use you mightily, you really want to walk in the anointing, love must be your greatest motivation. Love. Because God anoints men in order to solve problems in the lives of other men. And why does he do that? Because of his love. Am I communicating? Because of his love. So when you are a genuine lover of people and you have compassion to help people, I'm telling you, God will anoint you to bring that supernatural help to those that are suffering and oppressed, plagued by the devil. It was said concerning Catherine Kuhlman that anytime she sees the sick, she will be crying. She will cry. That was even before she started walking in the healing anointing. That she walked somewhere where she was taking care of people that are physically challenged, all these handicapped people like that. So anytime she sees sick people, lame people on wheelchair, you know, all those physically challenged, or what we call the handicapped people, that she used to cry. Sometimes she will tell God that God should remove their sickness and put it on her and take away her own health and give those people, just for them to be free. That was the kind of compassionate love she had. And God saw that heart. God said, I'm going to anoint you and give you a healing ministry that will shake this world. And of course, you knew how a healing ministry was. Compassion, very important. Glory to God. Glory to God. Compassion. Sometimes, even when I just watch movies that was acted, you know, I once heard a man of God, a healing minister say that some years back. And me too, I had a similar experience. You know, I think it was Reverend Chris Oyakilome. He said he has so much compassion for the sick that one day he was just walking, he walked into his sitting room and they were watching movie, and he just saw a sick woman on a wheelchair, you know, they had accident, and from the accident she couldn't walk, she became wheelchair bound. And he said the moment he saw her, the compassion of Jesus just welled up in his spirit. And he said he started feeling the healing anointing. He said he felt like ministering to her. And it was a movie. It was a movie. Acted. It's not real, it was acted. But compassion. And I heard him some years said that. And me too, I started having similar experience. Sometimes when I watch movie and I see sick people, before you know, my heart goes, the compassion of Jesus just moves in my heart. And when I move like that with compassion, just like Jesus, it activates the anointing. I just start feeling the healing anointing on my hands. I'll just feel like ministering to that sick person. Glory to God. Bishop Oyedepo said anytime he saw poor people, he said he usually have compassion. As in, he start feeling terrible. How can I help these people? He said those days when they are building church, it used to be an everlasting project. One committee will start the building project. They will die. The building has not gone beyond foundation. They will hand over to another building committee. He said he will grow up. Right from childhood, they started building church. He grew to this height. They've not finished completing the church building. He said the thing used to annoy him. He used to feel so angry. At a point, he told God, he said, God, give me money. I'll build you churches. He said he didn't plan to be a pastor. He said his plan was to be a businessman, successful Christian businessman. And not just anyhow, the type of businessman that is kingdom-minded. He said his plan was that he wants to be a businessman and become very rich and wealthy, then use his money to promote the gospel. Use his money to build churches, sponsor crusade, put it into church. That was his plan. Because he said he didn't like the experience he had when he was growing up. He saw how the church was so poor. In fact, they were abusing the church those days. There is this saying that as poor as church rat. As poor as church rat. He said he wanted to change that narrative. You see, he had compassion in his heart. He wanted to help the poor. He wanted the church to come out of poverty. And God saw that heart. God anointed him with the anointing for prosperity. Today, he's the richest pastor on earth. Somebody say compassion. Love is the greatest motivation for anything, including the anointing. Jesus was moved with compassion and he healed their sick. Luke chapter 7 verse 13. Luke 7:13. Are you getting blessed? What's the first reason? What's the first purpose for the supernatural? Number one reason why God manifests his supernatural power. Hallelujah. God loves us so much. There is no true father that is happy to see his child suffering. None. If you are a father, if you see your child in pain, you see your child suffering hardship, suffering, sickness, poverty, all of that, how will you feel? Won't you want to help? Won't it move your heart? Won't you have compassion for your children? So our Heavenly Father performs miracles, signs and wonders to prove that he loves us, is to demonstrate his love for us. Luke 7:13. And when the Lord saw her, this is the widow at Nain. Let me give you the foundation. What's it called? The context of the story. The widow at Nain. Her only son just died. Remember, she had lost her husband. She's a widow. And now, her son have died. They are now carrying the son to go and bury. Imagine how terrible she will be feeling. She was crying, weeping. When Jesus saw her at the gate, the Bible says Jesus, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. She had lost her husband, now she has lost her only son. He had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Next verse. And he came and touched the bier. The bier there is the coffin. The coffin. He touched it. And what happened? And they that bare it stood still. The anointing froze them. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Hallelujah. Next verse. And he that was dead sat up. My God. I say, he that was dead sat up. Kai. And he delivered him to his mother. Next verse. And there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. You see, the miracle of raising the dead, Jesus was moved with compassion to help this widow at Nain. That was what triggered the anointing. The resurrection power of God was unlocked, and it raised the dead son back to life. Jesus was moved with what? Compassion. Let's look at, you know, when I studied the Bible, I realized something. How many dead people did Jesus raise back to life during his earthly ministry? How many miracles of raising the dead? Bible student now, how many, if you are confident, say it confidently now, how many dead people did Jesus raise back to life during, when he was on alive on earth? Some say 3, some say 4. Okay, those that say 3, let's hear your 3. Number 1. Start with this one now. This widow woman, the one we just finished reading. The son of the widow at Nain that was raised. Number 2. Lazarus that was raised. Number 3. Darius' daughter. The one that says, Tabitha Kumiba. Young Midarise. Number. Okay, those that say number 4. Which one is the 4th one? Dorcas. That was Peter. Hallelujah. So, okay, 3. Now, you will notice something, that 2 out of 3 of those miracles of raising the dead, it was compassion, the compassion of Jesus that moved him, that activated the anointing for raising the dead. Example is this widow woman at Nain. You saw that Jesus had compassion on her, right? So compassion was a trigger. Then let's look at that of Lazarus. You realize that it was still compassion that was a trigger. John chapter 11 verse 33. John 11 33. 2 out of the miracle of raising the dead was triggered by the compassion of Jesus. It was compassion that triggered that anointing to raise the dead. Am I communicating? When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. When you see somebody you love suffering, how do you feel? Won't you be troubled? Jesus was troubled. Next verse. Remember, he was a lover of Lazarus, right? He loved Lazarus, okay? You will see it earlier in that story. He was a lover of Lazarus. It was their house Jesus used to come and eat food. If you study very well, Jesus liked coming to their house to come and eat food. Remember, it was their house that Jesus went, that Martha was preparing food, that Mary sat down listening to his. Jesus was moving Rema for Mary. Martha was bothered. Say, ah, Master, say, have you left me to do all the cooking? Eh? Jesus liked coming to the house. I can show you several scriptures that Jesus went to the house. I'm sure that there is no any other house that Jesus visited like their house. Probably because they know how to honor him very well anytime he comes. And now there is problem in their house. Lazarus was sick and Jesus no show for 4 days until Lazarus died. And he loved Lazarus. So Jesus needed to do something. He said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Next verse. Jesus wept. Oh. Jesus wept. Compassion. Somebody say compassion. Compassionate love. If you don't like somebody, will you weep when they die? In fact, there are some people that they are praying for other people to die. The moment they hear the person have died, they will even throw parties because of their hatred for the person. But when Lazarus, you see, where did you lay him? When they show him, Jesus just wept. He wept. And then, long story cut short, he raised Lazarus back to life. What triggered this resurrection power of God? Answer that question. Compassion. The number one reason God demonstrates his love to suffering humanity, to meet the needs of suffering humanity, plagued by the devil and his kingdom, is to demonstrate his love. Matthew 15:32, you will see it again. Compassion moving Jesus to perform miracles. Matthew 15:32, and Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. Remember this miracle? 3 days they were with him receiving Rema. Now they are hungry and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And then if you read down, he multiplied bread and fishes. Can you see? This provisional miracle was also triggered by the compassion of Jesus. Hallelujah. Then Matthew 20:32. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? Next verse. These were blind people that were asking Jesus, begging Jesus for healing. They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. Next verse. So Jesus had compassion on them. Are you seeing something? He had compassion on them. Siva, if you really want to start seeing miracles, this is a secret. You know, there are some people that want to move in power, but their motive is wrong. You understand? They want people, they are moved by their ego, their own pride, self-promotion, self-aggrandizement, so that people will respect them and all of that. See, until you get your motive right, you are not ready to walk in that dimension of power God has ordained for you. Your motivation must be love. Am I communicating? Must be love. If you have wrong motive, bah, even if God have called you to have that kind of miracle ministry, the number one assignment, God will first humble you. He will first humble you by experience. You understand? He will humble you. He will kill every form of ego and pride in you. You will feel embarrassed. You will be so embarrassed until there is no more ego. Hallelujah. There is no more ego. And it, when you get to that point that you have nothing to prove, that ego have died, that is when you now start seeing miracles. You start seeing miracles. I was listening to Apostle Joshua Selman. He said he had a similar experience. He said, before he started seeing miracles, the sick being healed, he had some humbling experiences. And the reason why God will take you through those processes is to kill your pride and your ego, so that you learn to depend upon Him absolutely, so that you will know that He is the doer of those miracles, it's not you. You know, he said those days, you know, he will pray for the sick. He was very sure that they are supposed to be healed, but they will not be healed. You know, he said, he will pray for people, they will die. They will take him to the hospital, pray for the sick. He was not seeing miracle. His ego was tongued. He felt embarrassed several times. People will say, ah, is this not that powerful apostle? Is this not the powerful man of God? So there was even a time that they took him to raise the dead. He said he was very sure that the dead will rise that day. See, after praying and praying and praying, chai, he said, I will open this door. See, the truth is that if you have a calling to this kind of miracle ministry, you will have those, you will pass through those phases. And God will take you through those things. I'm telling you the reason. To kill your pride and your ego. So that it will be none of you and all of Him. So that you will no longer have any point to prove. He said he finally started seeing miracle when he had died to himself. Everything called self had died. Am I communicating? You don't care about what people will say. It's no longer your concern. People's opinion, people's validation, all of that mean nothing to you at that point. You are a dead man. A dead person does not respond to either praise or criticism. True of us. When you are still responding to people's praise and criticism, that means you are still alive. You are still alive. But when you die, it means nothing to you. Whether they clap for you or they abuse you, whether they hail you or they nail you, all those things, they don't move you. It's like water running off a dog's back. You are a dead man. You are not moved by those things. You have died to them. Longest time. You are no longer seeking for fame. You are no longer seeking for self-promotion, all of that. Ego have died. Then God will now say, yes, you are ready to carry my power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you how to walk in the miraculous. Compassion. What is the second reason why God manifests His supernatural power? What's the second purpose of the supernatural? Is to bring salvation to the world of humanity. God manifests His miraculous power to bring salvation to the world of humanity. To bring people salvation. Hallelujah. John chapter 4 verse 48. Listen. The miraculous is the greatest method of advertising the gospel of Christ to the unbelieving world. Did you hear what I just said? The best marketing method for the gospel is through the miraculous, the supernatural. It's our best marketing strategy. That's why Satan does not like it when miracles are being broadcasted on media, on TV, on show, on media platform. He doesn't like it. It annoys him because he knows that so many people will come to Christ. Hallelujah. God have ordained it so. Why do you think Jesus said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high? He said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Why didn't Jesus tell them, go and preach? He had given them the great commission. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Am I communicating? But he knew that they needed empowerment, and then they needed the supernatural power of God that the Holy Ghost will bring for the people of the world, the unbelieving world, to believe that message, or else they will not believe. We have a gospel that will not be accepted, that will not be believed or accepted without the supernatural. The goal is to save people, is to bring them to the point of salvation. But they will not just accept Jesus like that. They will not receive that free gift of salvation that Jesus has died to provide for them without them seeing the manifestation of God's power. The supernatural is the greatest way to advertise the gospel. Is the best marketing strategy. I love what Pastor Chris did some years back. They were showing an atmosphere of miracle on Nigerian stations, NTA, all those different stations, until Satan moved some people and they convinced Nigerian Broadcasting Commission that they should ban the program. They should ban it because they are advertising miracles, and through those miracles so many people are giving their lives to Christ that are watching. Satan was threatened. Of course, we know it's Satan's work. Persecution arose. It's normal. It happened in the early church too, persecution, and they banned it. They used political power, MBC, that no more showing of atmosphere of miracle. He said no more. It threatened Satan. There was a time Peter and John, they were performing so much miracles in the name of Jesus. Then they threatened them, the high priest, the Sanhedrin council. They should not preach nor teach anymore in that name, because they realized the name was the one producing those miracles. Am I communicating? It's not every time miracle happens people will clap for you. It stirs up persecution because Satan is not happy. He will start moving authorities against you. It's part of the strategy. His goal is to stop people from receiving Christ, to stop the preaching of the gospel, and by so doing, he will stop people from getting saved. We are wiser than that. So they banned NBC, Nigerian Broadcasting Commission. They banned atmosphere of miracles. But I love what Pastor Chris did. He smiled, he laughed. He told his people that we are going to launch our own TV stations. See, in this life, become too big for anybody to stop you. He said, we have our own platform. You know, on all these Nigerian NT and all of that, they were buying airtime back. He said, okay, who have our own satellite TV station. And that was when they moved to South Africa and they launched their own satellite TV station, Love World Plus, Love World Sat. Right now they have like how many, is it 4, 5 or 6, I'm not too sure how many TV stations they now have. They now can you now limit any, can you stop them? Are you getting my point? And then their internet and internet multimedia ministry exploded. It took over the internet. Today you talk of media ministry, their media ministry is like second to none. It became unlimited. Am I communicating? Satan is threatened by the miraculous. You know, whenever you are just preaching and there is no supernatural demonstration of God's power, it doesn't threaten Satan that much. It doesn't threaten him that much. Because he knows that people will not believe you that much. He knows that not much will come to Christ. But anytime there is a release of the miraculous, that's why the supernatural is very important. Look at what Jesus said. John 4:48. Jesus said unto him, that's the father of the nobleman's son that was sick. He said, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Till today is like that. This unbelieving world, if they don't see miracle signs and wonders, if they don't see supernatural manifestation of God's power, they will not believe our gospel. They will not get born again easily. See, no amount of grammar or human philosophy will convict a sinner. It's the power of God that convicts them to salvation. Look at avalanche of good news broadcasts. We've even had testimony of a Muslim that got born again through the broadcast. You think if the broadcast have just come on air and be giving, talking story and giving, speaking grammar, is that what we get people saved? No. It's the power of God. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that convicts sinners unto repentance. That's why religious Christianity will not help anybody. The one that Jesus said, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. There is a power thereof in Christianity that must not be denied. This is how we are going to win the world to Jesus. So we'll win them to the kingdom. We'll win them for Jesus. Superior supernatural manifestation. In Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 13, it chronicled the account of Philip when he went out to the city of Samaria. The Bible says Philip preached Christ to them. And then he preached Christ unto them. Next verse. The Bible says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Next verse. Supernatural manifestation of God's power there. For unclean spirit, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and them that were lame were healed. You see, supernatural deliverance and healing taking place in that Samaritan crusade that Philip had. Next verse. And there was great joy in that city. Next verse. You see, But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Move down. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. Next verse. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Next verse. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Next verse. 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Can you see this? They believed the gospel. They got born again. They were baptized. When Philip preached the gospel to them. Why? Because of demonstration of God's power in deliverance, in miracles, signs and wonders. See, one miracle is worth more than 1,000 sermons. One miracle is worth more than 1,000 words. So, am I communicating? The miraculous, the supernatural. Look at Reinhard Bonnke crusades. Look at the millions of souls being invested into the kingdom. Why? Because they saw the gospel not just being preached and taught, but the gospel is being demonstrated. Is it? There are three things. There is the preaching of the gospel, one. There is the teaching of the gospel, two. Then there is the demonstration of the gospel. Both the preaching and teaching of the gospel must be followed by the demonstration of the gospel. That is where the supernatural comes in. Signs and wonders comes in. So don't just be a preacher and a teacher. Be a demonstrator of the gospel of Christ. Be a demonstrator of the power of the kingdom. You must demonstrate that kingdom. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by, I think, Matthew 12:28, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, he said, surely by the power of God, surely the kingdom of God is come unto you. So the kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. It's characterized by the supernatural power of God. Hallelujah. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. It's not a powerless kingdom. The kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. Philip brought them the gospel of the kingdom and demonstrated it in his power. And the people believed. People will believe you more when they see supernatural manifestations of the gospel that you are preaching and teaching, compared to when you just talk. Am I communicating? It produces more results. Check. All through, when revivals happen, the move of God, there is massive harvest of souls into the kingdom. So it's to bring salvation. I say it's to bring salvation. You see it also in Acts 9:32-35, where Peter was on doing follow up and he met Enos, who was lame, and he said, Christ maketh thee whole. And the Bible says when that miracle happened, Enos was healed. The whole of Lydda and Sharon saw it and turned to the Lord. Glory to God. Also, when Dorcas was raised from the dead, Dorcas, Acts 9:36-42, so many souls came to, were harvested into the kingdom. Hallelujah. So the supernatural, the miraculous, is the greatest method of marketing the gospel message, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, to this unbelieving world. It is our greatest method of advert, our greatest tool for advertisement. Number three, why does God manifest his supernatural power? What is the third purpose for the supernatural, the miraculous? Is to reveal and glorify Jesus, to reveal and glorify his name, to honor the name of Jesus, to reveal. The miraculous, the supernatural, they reveal and glorify Jesus. They are a proof that Jesus is still alive, and they bring honor to his name. They bring honor to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. John chapter 14. John 14 verse 12. Is it, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So the believer in Jesus is ordained to do greater works. Next verse. And those works, they are miraculous works. He said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Watch this. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father, look at the purpose, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when you use the name of Jesus to perform miracles, because miracles happen in that name, it says it brings glory to God the Father. Anytime, you know, one of the assignments of the Holy Spirit, one of his job description is to glorify the name of Jesus, is to testify of Jesus and to glorify his name. And the Holy Spirit is a custodian of God's power for miracle signs and wonders. So anytime you use your authority in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost causes miracle signs and wonders to happen, and by so doing, it brings glory to God the Father. Verse 14. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. So the name of Jesus is a miracle worker, and the miracle will now bring glory to God. It will glorify his name. In Mark 16:17, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Supernatural signs. In my name they shall cast out devils. So the supernatural signs and wonders that characterize a believer, they happen when we function in his name. It glorifies the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 3, verse 6 to 8, you will see that the healing of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful brought honor to the name of Jesus. It revealed the name of Jesus and glorified the name of Jesus. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Next verse. And he took him by the right hand, that is, he helped to give action to his faith, okay, corresponding action, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and what? Praising God. Jump to verse 13. Jump to verse 13. Watch this. Explaining that miracle, Peter said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, watch this, the God of our fathers had glorified his son Jesus. In performing this miracle, he has what? Glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. So Peter is trying to explain to the audience that, look, the performance of this miracle in the name of Jesus, God did it in order to glorify that name. Hallelujah. Then you see verse 16. It says, in his name. Is it that miracle? In his name. Through faith in his name. True faith. That's why I say, when you use the name of Jesus, use it in faith. The name does not work when you use it in fear. I emphasized that yesterday. It says, in his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Then Acts 4:6-10. Acts 4:6. Are you learning something? Are you getting blessed? What's the first reason why God manifests his supernatural power? The number one purpose of the supernatural: to demonstrate his love for suffering humanity, for the needy world. Number two, to bring salvation to the world of humanity, to bring people to salvation. Number three, to reveal and glorify the name of Jesus. It says, and Annas and, what is this? Annas the high priest, and Cephas, and John. You see what I was telling you? That John is a part of the high priest family. Look at him there. And Alexander, and as many were of the kindred of the high priest. Can it be clearer? You now see why John was boxed up? You now see why Jesus committed his mother to John? He was of the kindred of the high priest. And those people were loaded, though. They have money. Were gathered together at Jerusalem. Next verse. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power? They were examining the miracle. By what power, or by what name, have ye done this? That power there is actually exousia. It should have been translated authority. Maybe give us in NIV. By what authority, or by what name, have you done this? They were inquiring. Do you have NIV? Okay, maybe check for a translation that uses authority. Move on. Because of time, just move on. They were inquiring. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Next verse, it says, it says, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So this is the means by which they made the man whole, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Hallelujah. What is the fourth reason why God performs miracles, signs and wonders? The fourth reason for the supernatural is to confirm his word as the truth. To confirm his word as the truth. The word of God is truth. John 17:17, he says, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. God performs miracles, signs and wonders to, as a confirmation, to attest to the word of God as the truth. Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. Jump to 20. Mark 16:20, he said, they went and preached everywhere. Watch this. They were preaching the word of God. They were preaching the gospel. The Lord walking with them. That Lord there is the Holy Spirit. And confirming the word. Confirming what? The word. So, those supernatural signs and wonders, they happen, they are done, they manifest to confirm the word of God. Hallelujah. Confirming the word with signs following. I tell people, if you preach the authentic gospel of Christ, it must be confirmed with miracles, signs and wonders. It will attest to it. The supernatural validates the veracity of the truth of the gospel. Miracles, signs and wonders, supernatural manifestations, they occur to validate the veracity, the authenticity of the truth of the gospel of Christ. They are a proof that the gospel of Christ is true. So God performs them to confirm the gospel as the truth. Acts chapter 14 verse 3. Long time abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. Long time abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Hallelujah. Can you see that? They were speaking boldly in the Lord. They were preaching the gospel. They were speaking the word of God. Then God gave testimony to the word of his grace. And then supernatural signs and wonders confirmed it. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you. And ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Beginning from where? Both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ever increasing influence. Hallelujah. So, you cannot be a true witness without the supernatural power of God that comes from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's why he sent the Holy Ghost to empower us. Am I communicating? So that we can validate the veracity, the truth of the gospel message. Glory to God. Acts chapter 4 verse 33. Acts 4:33. It says, with great power. And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And what? great grace was upon them all. With great power gave he witness. They were witnessing for Christ with great power, because great grace was upon them all. Hallelujah. So, witnessing requires the supernatural element. Nobody will believe your testimony as a witness for Christ if it is not backed up with the supernatural power of God manifesting in miracles, signs, and wonders. Am I communicating? Who is a witness? Who is a witness? A witness for Christ. Who is a witness for Christ? Number one, a witness for Christ is a validator of the claim of the gospel. He is a validator. He brings forth proofs and evidence to validate the message of the gospel. He is a validator of a claim. A witness is a proof producer. Ye shall receive power and ye shall become proof producers. Oh, Evangelist Maurice Cerullo has a book titled Proof Producers. Proof Producer. If you see that book, read it too. Maybe you should Google it online. Very powerful. The necessity of the supernatural in witnessing is so important. You can talk from now till next year, people will not believe you without the power of God backing it up. Am I communicating? Even for people to be born again, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that convicts them. So, a witness is a proof producer, an evidence provider. A witness is an evidence provider, one who provides proofs or evidence to validate his claims and assertions. A witness is one who provides proofs or evidence to validate his claims and assertions. And you know, in a law court, cases are decided for or against based on what? The availability or lack of it, of evidences, right? Evidence produced by witnesses. So the miraculous proves that Jesus Christ actually was raised from the dead. The miraculous proves the resurrection of Christ and shows that he is still alive today. Hebrews 13:8. He said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is the fifth reason why God manifests the miraculous? The first one is what? To demonstrate his love. Number two, bring salvation to humanity. Number three, reveal and glorify Jesus. Number four, we said, to confirm his word as the truth. That's to provide convincing and incontrovertible evidence that the gospel is the truth. Undisputable evidence. To provide convincing and undisputable or incontrovertible evidence that the gospel is true. Hallelujah. The fifth reason is to save the world of humanity. To save the unbelieving world from satanic deception and falsehood. The fifth reason why God demonstrates his supernatural miraculous power is to save the world of the unbelieving world, is to save the unbelieving world from satanic deception and falsehood. Or you can put it this way, to save the world of humanity from believing and accepting the counterfeit and false satanic supernatural manifestations available to them. To save the world of humanity from believing and accepting the counterfeit and false satanic supernatural manifestation made available to them. So God performs miracles. Give me Acts chapter 8 verse 9. God performs miracles, signs and wonders to deliver people from demonic deceptions, demonic lies, lying signs and wonders, fake false miracles is to deliver people from demonic deception, lies and falsehood. How many of you know that in absence of the genuine divine supernatural manifestation of God's power, people will easily go with the option of the demonic, false and fake counterfeit that is available to them? How many of you know that? Of course. The world is full of too many problems, and people are looking for solution. And if God does not manifest his authentic power, people will be left with no option than to patronize the one that Satan is giving them. This is why the business and enterprise of fake prophets is still thriving. Fake miracles, native doctors on suit now. They have left shrines though. Some of them are wearing suit and tie. Am I communicating? Are you aware there are Christians that go to church, but when serious problem hits them and there is no medical or humanly possible solution, they are looking for where they can get supernatural solution. Some of them don't even mind going to native doctor shrine. They don't mind going anywhere to get supernatural help. You now see why God manifests his power to save people from those kind of deception. Hallelujah. Because in the absence of the genuine or authentic supernatural power of God in demonstration, a lot of people will be left with the option of believing and accepting the false alternatives Satan is presenting to them. A lot of people will easily believe the fake and the false demonic counterfeit if they cannot assess the genuine. Am I communicating? A good example is this Acts chapter 9. Watch this. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time, Simon Magnus, is a magician, is a sorcerer, which before time in the same city, he used sorcery, magical enchantment, divination. This guy is a wizard. He's a wizard using sorcery, witchcraft, wizardry to bewitch the people of Samaria. He is performing magic. Am I communicating? Performing, demonstrating the power of Satan, demonic powers in magic, in incantation, in enchantment, and all of that. He bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Next verse. To whom they all gave heed. Oh, they gave him their attention. Oh. See, anywhere people see supernatural power, whether it is divine or demonic, anywhere there is supernatural power, it catches people's attention. It grabs people's attention. Am I communicating? They all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. Can you see? See, this is what I was saying. Let me ask you a question. Is this statement true? That this Simon sorcerer, magician, is the great power of God? But guess what? This is what the people believed. The people of Samaria. Because this is the this is the only option they have. This is the only person manifesting supernatural power that they ever saw. So they concluded that this is the power of God. You see why you need to manifest the authentic, so that people will not believe the fake. Are you seeing something? God demonstrates his power to save and deliver this unbelieving world from satanic deception and falsehood. The people of Samaria, they are already victims of what? Demonic deception. Simon the sorcerer had bewitched them. Look at verse 11. With his magical spells and incantation, with his sorceries, he had bewitched the whole city. And to him they had regard. They respected him so much. Even till today, do you know the son of a native doctor, people they respect? If the son of a native doctor is in the same class with some people in school, they won't look for a struggle. Are you getting me? Because they know that if you go report you to your father, praise God. See, the Bible says they high had respect for him, Simon sorcerer, because that of a long time he had bewitched the people, he cast spell on them with sorceries. Oh, but verse 12, thank God Philip went there. Tell your neighbor, thank God Philip went there. Oh, thank God Philip went there with the genuine, authentic power of God. That the, in fact, even Simon the sorcerer was astonished and amazed. His powers were so broken and swallowed up by the superior power of God that Philip came with, to the point that when Philip was making altar call, him too, he came out. I'm sure the people of Samaria will have been surprised. Say, what? Say, even chairman join us. Are you getting? Because chairman have seen a greater power today in that crusade Philip held. God wants to swallow up all this business of fake prophets and fake miracle workers. He wants to swallow them up through the superior demonstration of his power by us. Just like Daniel in Babylon. Hope you know that there were astrologers, there were magicians, wise men, all those people, sorcerers, that were in the king's, King Nebuchadnezzar's palace, that they were part of his advisory council. But Daniel came with a superior wisdom, the wisdom of God. He came with a superior supernatural power of God and wisdom of God, to the point that because of the superiority of the manifestation of God's wisdom through Daniel, he was able to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He didn't just interpret, he told him the dream that he dreamt and he had forgotten, and then he told him the interpretation, something the magician told him that there is no mortal that can do that. Am I coming? Is it only the gods who don't live among men? Am I communicating? But Daniel came and did it. Do you know, after he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Nebuchadnezzar was so wowed that he bowed down and worshipped Daniel. He said, this is not a human being, he must be a god. Somebody said demonstration, superior demonstration. It is a slap for fake prophets to be performing more miracles than authentic prophets of God. It's a slap on our face. God wants the superiority of his power. Just like the rod of Moses that Aaron threw down swallowed up the rod of the magicians. Am I communicating? God wants to swallow up demonic manifestation, demonic powers, by his superior power demonstrated. Hallelujah. Daniel so demonstrated the superiority of God's wisdom to solve, to bring supernatural solution to the people of Babylon and to King Nebuchadnezzar, to the point that Nebuchadnezzar appointed him as the master of the magicians. Hope you know, he made Daniel what? The master, as in he is their oga. He became the chairman of the native doctor society in Babylon because of superiority of manifestation. Glory to God. Laws that govern the miraculous, the supernatural. Laws that govern or control or provoke supernatural manifestation. The supernatural doesn't just occur. It doesn't just happen haphazardly. They are exact spiritual laws. You can call them spiritual laws because all of them are spiritual laws. They are spiritual laws that trigger them when correctly understood and applied. They are exact spiritual laws that govern the demonstration of the supernatural. I have a couple of them, but I will give you only one because of time. Tomorrow, we continue from there. Hallelujah. Number one, the light of revelation knowledge. The first law that control or govern supernatural operation, you want to walk in the supernatural, the first law you must understand and apply is the light of revelation knowledge. Exodus 33 verse 13, the light of revelation knowledge. Now therefore, look at Moses. He said, I pray thee, speaking to God, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Show me now what? Thy way. Show me thy way. Let me know your way by revelation. Let me understand your way, that I may find grace for the supernatural in thy sight. When you find his way by revelation, you locate his, you receive grace. You step into grace. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of his Son Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. The grace for the supernatural, the peace that comes with it, is multiplied towards you through the knowledge of God. Epignosis, precise and exact knowledge. So the revelation knowledge of the word of God, revelation knowledge of the truth, is the multiplying factor for grace. Is the multiplying factor for grace, the grace to operate in the supernatural. Psalm 103 verse 7, the Bible says, God made known his ways to Moses. He made known his ways. Take note, Psalm 103 verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses and then his acts to the children of Israel. Two things there. Number one, he made known his ways. In answer to Moses' prayer, God made known his ways to Moses. And the ways of God is what puts you in command of his supernatural acts. When you know his ways, you can command and manifest his supernatural acts in terms of miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. You cannot walk in the supernatural if you are ignorant of God's ways. You cannot manifest the supernatural power of God. You cannot demonstrate miracle signs and wonders if you are ignorant of the ways of God. Am I communicating? The light of revelation knowledge. When you have access to his ways, you are empowered to command his supernatural acts. They manifest. Glory to God. In Matthew 16:17, Jesus answered, said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. That Bar means son of. So Barjona means son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Next verse. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is this rock? In that context, is revelation. Revelation knowledge. Of the revelation knowledge that God gave Peter concerning Jesus, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Am I communicating? Next verse. Verse 19, this is where I'm going. It says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Am I communicating? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, the keys of the kingdom are in form of revelation knowledge of the truth. They are the secrets of the supernatural. Am I communicating? These secrets for walking in the supernatural, the secrets for operating in the supernatural, they are the keys that Jesus is talking about here. And they are in form of revelation knowledge, the light of revelation knowledge. Am I communicating? When you are in possession of them, you walk in the supernatural easily. Glory to God. In Ephesians 1:17 to 19, you will see where Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. He says that God will grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And then he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. Then next verse, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Hold it here. He says, by the time the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, you will know three things. Number one, what is the hope of his calling? Number two, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints in light? Then number three, you will know by revelation. You will become aware. Am I communicating? You will be thoroughly lighted to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. This is how you start walking in it. It's through revelation. Am I communicating? Because he has given us his power when he gave us the Holy Spirit. But it's through revelation knowledge, the light of revelation knowledge, that you come to the understanding on how to operate in the miraculous. You see, the Holy Ghost will start giving you revelation. As you study and meditate on God's word, you start receiving revelation on how to operate and function in the supernatural. Am I communicating? This is very important. This is what many Christians need. You are not powerless. If you have the Holy Spirit, you are not powerless. Your problem is ignorance. You don't know how to walk in the power you have. This is why I say this is the first law. Light. Somebody say light of revelation knowledge. It will empower you to walk in the supernatural. In Philippians 3:10, Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He didn't cry and pray to God, give me more power. He said that I may know him. Somebody say light. Somebody say revelation. That I may know him. When you get to know him through intimacy, for the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. Exploit as supernatural accomplishment, supernatural works, supernatural feats and results. You want to function in the supernatural and do exploit? He said the key is that the people that do know their God, intimacy with God, experiential knowledge of God. Somebody said the light of revelation knowledge. But suppose say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You cannot know him and not walk in power. Rise to your feet. You cannot know him and not walk in the supernatural power of resurrection. Glory to God. Isaiah 61, he said, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise and begin to shine. Arise and begin to walk in the supernatural. Light empowers you for flight into the world of the supernatural. I say light empowers you for your supernatural flight. Light empowers you for a supernatural flight. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. He said, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and what? Kings to the brightness of thy rising. Am I communicating? You know, I started, when I started ministering to the sick, by God's grace, I was seeing results. I was seeing some healings here and there. I was seeing healings. But there was a particular kind of healing that I noticed was not taking place. People with eye condition, eye problem. I was wondering, I was not getting result at a point in that area. And then I started asking question, and then I went to my Bible. I then decided I'm going to study all the people with eye disease or blind eyes that Jesus ministered to. I was looking for light. Am I communicating? The problem is not that the power is not there, but there is a light that I had not located. So I started studying and meditating all the healing ministry of Jesus. I started studying the people that were blind, the people with eye problem. I started studying it. And then when I studied and meditated, I received light in that area. I received light. And then on the basis of that light, I then prayed. And then I started seeing results in that area. Am I communicating? I started getting results in that area. I started getting results. But before, there were no results. Am I communicating? Somebody say, light, I want you to pray. There is something God must open your eyes to see from his word. There is a relevant light you need to break forth into the world of the supernatural. Am I communicating? I was listening to Dr. Paul Enenche. He said, one light he saw in the book of Acts shifted his healing ministry to another dimension. He said he was studying the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 5, he saw how they were bringing sick people. They put them on the street so that at least the shadow of Peter passing may overshadow them, and they were getting healed. He said as he studied that, he meditated on that. He said, I looked at that verse, something jumped on me. He said, I looked at it, something jumped. Light exploded. He said, he came and he was preparing for their Tuesday miracle healing and deliverance service. He said, without prayer, just that light he saw, something exploded in him. He said, he came for that meeting. And then he said, if you know that you are already healed, came out. I said, came out. He said, he has not prayed though. He said, if you know that you are already healed in your body, come out. And he said, the crowd of healed people he saw, he has never seen it before, even with prayer for the sick. What shifted him to that dimension? Somebody say, light. Somebody say, light. Somebody say, light. Joel Austin's father, John Austin, he had a supernatural ministry. How did he break out, a word of faith man? How did he break out into that dimension of the supernatural? It's how did he start seeing miracle signs and wonders? He said he was studying the life of Jesus, the miracle of Jesus, his miracle ministry. He was studying it. As he was studying and meditating, suddenly, instead of seeing Jesus walking the shores of Galilee, instead of seeing Jesus healing the sick, casting out devils, he said he started seeing himself in the picture. He started seeing himself performing those miracles. As he meditated on the word, he started seeing himself laying hands on the sick, opening blind eyes, unstopping deaf ears, casting out devils, causing the lame to walk. He started seeing himself, and that was it. He broke forth into the supernatural. I want you to lift up your voice. Father, the relevant light I need to break forth into the supernatural, let
it explode. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He said, for this purpose I bow my knees. He said that the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, will give you, the Father of glory, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation. The number one law for walking in the supernatural is the law of light. The law of light. The light of revelation knowledge. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. There is a relevant light you need for your supernatural flight. There is a relevant light that will fire you up and empower you and enfire you, likabakataya, so that you begin to walk in the supernatural. Likobaka sidi breketeya. The supernatural is controlled by light. The miraculous is controlled by light. Likobagadaya sambalatai. Lift up your voice in 1-2 minutes and begin to cry out, Father, as I study my Bible, as I study your word, as I study and meditate, let the light for the supernatural break out. Likobakataya efreteteya. The relevant light I need to break forth into the miraculous. The Bible says he made known his ways to Moses. God revealed his ways to Moses. Moses had the revelation of his ways. No wonder Moses could walk in the miraculous. Moses, he moved in the supernatural. Moses was swimming in the supernatural. He had a revelation knowledge of the ways of God. Ayagabatiza, that put him in command of the supernatural acts of God. For the people that do know their God, they shall be strong. They shall do it.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.